back to FCA softball camp. And so I've been kind of in a good spiritual environment for the last 10 days or so. And I feel like I've gotten so many good things out of the last 10 days. And as I was thinking about it, I was driving the bus home today, and I was thinking, all right, Lord. And I know I should have been thinking about what I was going to tell y'all tonight before this afternoon, right? But I wasn't. I apologize. So I was like, all right, Lord, what can I, you know, what can I share? And all, so FCA always picks a word, okay? And some of you guys pick a word for the year. Well, FCA does the same thing, and they pick a word that kind of helps focus the ministry for the course of the next year. And this year, they picked the word strong. And, you know, you think about some scripture in the Bible that can go with the word strong, and the one they put to it doesn't have the word strong in it, okay? They picked 2 Timothy 4:7, and I have my Passion Translation. I don't have the other one. But basically, it's, I fought the good fight. I ran my race, and I fought the good fight. That's the summary of the scripture. And as we were down there this week, or last week in coaches camp, there were 300 coaches and their families. There were 500 high school kids down there. I ran into Haven one day, and she was sitting there kind of like, I mean, you know, they get them up early, they go to bed kind of late, and she was just like a zombie. And I said, Haven, how you doing? She says, oh, I'm just so good. It's great. I'm having a good time. And I'm like, well, I never would have thought that just looking at you, but I'm glad. And I ran into Casey, and one day I felt that I just bear hug come up and get me from behind and turn around. Of course, it was Casey with her bear hug, and saw her a couple of times. I always ran into them in the cafeteria usually. And so I know they were having a good time. The kids that we took from Carrollton were, I saw them. They're like, Coach, this is awesome. This is great, you know. And so it's a really good time of fellowship. And Anthony is 10 or 11, just turned 11. And they have a kids camp for him. And, you know, typically if you're a boy and you're out riding your bicycle and it's time for you to go win, you're like, Mama, give me 5 more minutes, right? And he had to be at kids camp at like 6:30. And so I'd start looking for him about 6:20. Because if you know Anthony, I used to have to put out Anthony alerts because I never can find him. So I was starting my route, and about 6:22, I look over to where all the bicycles are parked, and his is there. I'm like, what's going on? He had already checked himself in. He was, you know, so much fun. He had already checked himself into the kids portion of it. You know, they do very similar to the VBS type thing we do with crafts and music and all these things. And he checks himself in. So it's a really good atmosphere. And everybody gets to be loved on by Jesus and get to love on Jesus. So let me slow down. So as we're down there this week, The scripture was 2 Timothy 4:7. Then they have these kind of themes that go with them. So it's faith strong, family strong, fight strong, finish strong. Okay? Those are the kind of things that go with the word strong. And so I want to tell you just a couple of things. I told you I had so many nuggets rolling around in my head that I got. And then I went and heard Damon preach. It's like, oh my gosh, he just blows me away every time I hear him. So, and there's something different about being there than it is listening to on the podcast. Those of you been over there know there's just something different about being there than it is just listening to him on that podcast. And, you know, his facial expressions, him laughing at himself, him getting all serious, and just something about his mannerisms that just, I don't know, they're just good to be in his presence. And of course, the presence of the Lord just kind of sits on that place during that time as well. So as I started thinking about what to share, there were so many coaches down there that didn't have a relationship with the Lord. So the first thing they were talking about is we want to be faith strong. Obviously, we got to know Him, okay? And then the second part it talked about, and this is kind of where I want to start for just a second, is it talks about family strong. And one of the beauties that comes out of this house is I feel like we have strong families. And even though, you know, families don't always agree, sometimes they disagree, but at the end of the day, I know I'm in a family that loves me and that I love. And there's so much power in that and so much unity in that. But also you have a family that's unique and different. You know, I think about my kids. I got 4 kids. And you have 4 kids, and I've got an oldest son. He's about to be 28 Monday. I've got a 23-year-old daughter, a 21-year-old son, and an 11-year-old. And all of them are different. They're different in a lot of ways, yet they got the same mama, the same daddy. And it's like, I don't recognize you because I don't know where that came from. And it's certainly not like what your brother did or what your sister did. So they're the same, but yet they're different. And that's us. We're the same, but we're different. And we each have a... I'm getting ahead of myself here. The thing is, if somebody was messing with my kids, you know what Mama Bear's going to do? Mama Bear's coming after you, most likely. Okay? Mama Bear's going to come get you. Probably going to outrun Papa Bear most of the time. Okay? So, you know, I'm willing to fight for them. And here's the thing. We're all different. But our daddy's going to come fight for us. He's fighting for us sometimes when we're not. And then to add to that, sometimes we got little 11-year-old. I'm Mama Bear. But sometimes I don't have to fight because sister is already on it. So the beauty of that is we have Mama Bear, Papa Bear, but we also have our brothers and sisters that will lock arms and fight also. That's the beauty of being family strong. That's the beauty of being family strong. And when we can be faith strong, family strong, then all of a sudden we can fight. And we don't have to fight alone. And we don't have to fight each other. And that's where sometimes we get mixed up. We've got to get to the point where we don't dismantle each other. You know, you may not look like me, you may not necessarily act like me, but we got the same DNA to act like him. And we miss that a lot of times because we get into this comparison game or we get into the, well, I wished I had what Randy had. Or I wished I had what Robin had. And so we miss so much of celebrating each other. I mean, I'm not perfect. Y'all already know that. Nobody is. He is. We're good, but with him we can be perfect. We need him to help make us perfect. And when I can get to that point where I can celebrate somebody else, guys, if you're in here and you got, you know, these guys that are coming in, you've been there where they were before. You know? There may be the guy that makes you the maddest if you've ever been, and you want to punch him in the throat. I saw that side eye. I ain't going to tell you which one did it. I saw it, though. Just kidding. But at the end of the day, you guys have got to celebrate somebody else getting free. You got to celebrate it. Even if you wish you were already there, you got to celebrate somebody else getting free. You got to celebrate somebody else getting something to make them better, to make them more like their daddy up here. You got to celebrate that. And I think we miss that too often. We miss that too. Last night, guys, when my kid got saved, man, I can't even I get chill bumps every time I say it. It's so awesome. And when she stood up, this kid has been through hard time. And when the call was made, she stood up proud. And my team, my kids, I told y'all we didn't really go down there for the softball. Now, we went 5-1 and should have went 6-0. So you can win going knowing you're going to win with Jesus too. We won on both sides. And when she stood up and then my kids went down there and celebrated with her, man, that made old ball coach proud. I couldn't even get mad at the kid for making the error that we lost the game today. Her sister actually came up and said, "Coach, why didn't you yell at her? I'm so happy, I can't." But the thing, side note, that kid knew she messed up. I didn't have to tell her. You know what? She needed me to just love her a little bit. Now, Randy went over and said, look, you screwed up. I sent the messenger, right? So when we can celebrate that and love each other, and genuinely, our society today pulls for people to fail more than they pull for them to win. It doesn't have anything to do with whether you pull for Auburn or Alabama or your school, whoever it may be, World Cup. You know, they go so wild in World. You know why they go so wild in World Cup? Yeah, that's the soccer thing going on, right? Everybody know that? The World Cup soccer. You know why they go so crazy when somebody scores a goal? They don't score much, do they? You got it, dude. They don't score much. 1-0, or they have to go to penalty kicks. So they go crazy. And so, you know, last night when my kid got set, all of my other kids just wrapped her up. That's awesome. That's what we got to do. Even when somebody's not getting saved, we got to learn to embrace it and not hate it. You know, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we all have the same purpose. I'm not Randy. I'm not tall like Paul. I'm not a mother of the house like Deborah. But you know what? We all have the same purpose. We don't necessarily all have the same destiny, but we all have the same purpose. And that purpose is what? To look like Daddy. That looks different for each of us in some way. It's how we get there, it's how we minister, but it all comes from Him. So, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we got to celebrate that. How do we do that? How do we do that? I feel like I am the only one talking. I am. How do we do that? Good. Paul said devotion. One, we have an enemy out there. Everybody knows that, right? He's come and got some of us several times. Or our stupid choice has really got us. And then we let the shame and the guilt and all that other stuff pile on. We asked for forgiveness, but we didn't really repent. There's a difference, you know. There's a difference in asking for forgiveness and really repenting. You know, Damon this weekend, they played the song Reckless Love. And, you know, it says, no mountain. Y'all know, this one right here. Snow Mountain. How's it go, Randy? Sing it for me, baby. No lie you won't tear down. No, or lie you won't. There you go. So we want him to come get the mountain. We want him to come get the lie. We want him to come get the wall. We want him to come get him the shadow. That's right. I don't know how he does it all, but we want him to get our mountain. We want him to get our shadow, the shadow. We want him to get the lie. We want him to get the wall. That's what we want. We want him to take care of our circumstances. And what does he want? He wants me. He wants you. That's all he wants. And when we give ourselves to him, he takes care of the mountain, the lie, the wall, the shadow. Because even if that's not necessarily gone in the physical, we get the peace, the hope, the love that we need. Okay, I sidetracked. So, if we need to, how do we activate that? One, we need to know our opponent. If I'm a coach, and I don't know Carol, can hit it over the fence before Carol steps into the box, and I throw her a fastball down the middle belt high, you know what Carol's going to do with that? If Carol's worth the news that she said she was, she's going to park it over the other side of the fence. So as a coach, I probably shouldn't throw Carol a fastball down the middle. I should probably throw her screwball under the chin first. So I have to know my opponent. I have to know him. Okay? I know this is kind of simple. I'm going somewhere, I promise. Maybe. So let me flip over this page right here. I already got past all that. go backwards. So let me go to. I'm in a. I don't know if you want to put it up or not, Graham. It's fine. I'm in 2 Timothy 4:7. Let me talk to you a little bit about Timothy. You guys know who Timothy was? Timothy's Paul's spiritual son, right? So this last letter that Paul writes is basically his farewell. He's saying his goodbye. Okay? It's like his last will and testament to Timothy. And this weekend we were at Carolina Revival, and I got and Paul and Graham were there, and that's like son and spiritual dad. Okay? Is how I viewed their relationship. And so this is very similar to how Paul and Timothy were. And when Paul is basically saying, he's writing this from a prison, by the way. You know, if I'm in prison, I don't know if I'm happy enough to write somebody a letter that's going to encourage them. I'm probably going to be saying, hey, see what you can do to slip me a nail file and let's get me out. Y'all had that thought too. Okay, so I'm not necessarily thinking about how I can encourage someone else. And so Paul's sitting here writing this letter, and he knows he's towards the end of his life. And he's basically saying there's going to be tough days. And here's how you're going to get by. He gives him 6 things, okay, in 2 Timothy. He gives him 6 analogies. One, he says, you're a soldier. Let me read it. 2 Timothy 2:3. It says, overcome every form of evil as a victorious soldier of Jesus, the Anointed One. For every soldier called to active duty must divorce himself from the distractions of the world so that he may fully satisfy the one who chose him. Anybody distracted? Yeah. We're going to be distracted. But this says, as a soldier, we are to be on guard at all times. To be on guard, prepared, ready to go. Ready to go at all times. So, the second analogy is an athlete. I can understand this one. An athlete doesn't play by the rule. An athlete who doesn't play by the rules will never receive the trophy. So remain faithful to God. You know, in games we have rules. We don't always like them, but we have rules. And they're there for a reason. And when we approach those rules faithfully, you know, in this thing, there's so many denominations that interpret different things different ways. There's so many different ways people interpret this word. But we have to be faithful to the one. And how do we know that? We got to know what it says, one. Okay? We got to know what it says. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people out there that tell you a lot of things, but until we decide ourselves what it says, you got to know what it says yourself. You got to know what it says yourself. You know, I wished I knew it better. I'm getting better. But for a lot of years, you know who I depended on to tell me what it said? Sydney Garner. I'm sure none of y'all ever did that. But I have repented and turned to where I'm doing it now. Does he still help me? Yeah. And do I believe he believes this? Yes. Absolutely. But I now have a time of devotion for myself where I can learn, and hopefully you guys do too. So we got a soldier. We got an athlete. You know what's next? A farmer. That's right, a farmer. What does a farmer do? What does a farmer do? Farms. What does a farm farm? What does a farmer farm? He produces a crop, right? He grows stuff. He sows stuff. He harvests. Right? So, when we are farmers and we're sowing, how does it look like when we're sowing as people? We're forming relationships. I don't know any of y'all's names. Well, maybe a couple of y'all know a couple of y'all's names. But there's a relationship with the Blake House and Victory Fellowship. There's a relationship. There's a relationship amongst this group of people. This brothers and sisters. We're sowing into each other. We're producing fruit. We're producing crops. Okay? So, we have a soldier who's active and on guard. An athlete who's faithful to the word and the rules of the game. We have a farmer who produces a crop. Then we have a minister is next. What does a minister do? Let me tell you what Paul said a minister is. What verse? Paul says a minister in 2:15 is, always be eager to present yourself before God as a perfect and mature minister without shame, as one who correctly explains the word of truth. Share the gospel. All of us can share the gospel. It doesn't say you have to have a certificate hanging on the wall to do that. We all share the gospel. I'm going to tell you some of the... I was in a huddle. When you go to FCA Coaches Camp, you get put into this huddle. It's a small group, so to speak. Okay? Small group. And last year I was in this huddle, and I knew a couple of the ladies in it from this area. We were in it together. So I had a little bit of a comfort zone. Okay? This year I was put into a huddle. Female coaches. But most of the girls in there were 24 to 28. I didn't know any of them. And I'm sitting here thinking, I'm a half a century old, and I'm sitting here with somebody a quarter century old. And they were sharing life that had happened to them. Two had babies. Got pregnant in college, had babies. One married baby daddy, got divorced. And they were carrying a lot of shame and guilt. Anybody ever carried shame and guilt? Yeah. Okay. Shame and guilt. And I had an opportunity to minister to those girls. And one of the girls said, I was always the girl everybody talked about. I was the girl that was sleeping around. And then I got pregnant. And I confirmed everything they said. That's a lot of weight to carry. Another one. I got pregnant. My parents were religious and didn't like it because I had slept with somebody before I got married. Tough relationship with mom and dad. And on Thursday night, my daughter came and hung out with me because we were leaving early the next morning. And I saw her connect and minister to these same girls I'd been ministering to all week. You talking about making a mama proud again? To see baby girl ministering in that environment and speaking life? And saying, I connected with you as soon as I walked in. I don't know why, but I connected with you. And she ministers. I can't not be on guard and be faithful and produce fruit. Because baby girl's watching. And baby girl's doing it on her own. I watch her this week be a huddle leader, producing fruit, hearing things, my stepdaddy beats me when he's drinking. I've been abused. There is a cause. There is a cause. I've got a kid who I slept in a car for a year because mama's on drugs and daddy's in prison. There is a cause. You work with people that have the same stories. We don't have time to not be a soldier and on guard. We can walk around without being on alert and not see any of that ever. But that's not what we're called to do. Man, y'all are quiet. Y'all making me nervous being quiet. And if I'm an athlete, so many times we want to shortcut the system. We want to shortcut the system. You think about an athlete. How do athletes shortcut the system? Performance-enhancing drugs. Try to step on people to get ahead. Whatever it may be. And we're not called to that. We're called, if we're following Him, He'll put the people in our path. He put a little girl from another school, another town in my path. And for her coming, I've probably missed more than I would want to know. But we got one, right? Changed her walk. And I'm going to tell you, when her daddy picked her up today, boy, he was proud. He was smiling. You talking about a proud daddy? My baby got saved last night. My baby ministered last night. Whoo! Somebody's got to be excited beside me. Y'all sitting here like bumps on the log now. I'm going to tell you. Y'all got to help a girl. I've been coaching, so I'm kind of like in the rah-rah mode. Y'all got to come on and help a girl out. So we got soldier, athlete, farmer, minister. Everywhere we go, I guarantee you, you're in the same vicinity when somebody's hurting. I used to go in Walmart, and I would see Robin, just not really Robin. Oh, there's Robin. Let me go this way. Woo! Again, I know y'all all sanctified, never done that. But there is a cause. And this is what Paul's telling Timothy. There is a cause. The next one's container. I thought that kind of odd. I could see a soldier. I could see an athlete. I could see a farmer. I could see a minister. But a container? Paul must have fallen asleep or something when he wrote container. But when I looked it up, container, it says dedicated to honorable persons, prepared for a good work. I'm the container. You are a container. What are you full of? Sometimes I'm full of stuff I shouldn't be full of. Again, I know y'all are sanctified. But sometimes I'm full of a whole lot of stuff that don't always look like Jesus. You are what you eat. Which one am I feeding? The old story. Which one am I feeding? Right? I can guarantee you I'm not going to glean much if I'm just sitting there watching Naked and Afraid or I'm sure y'all don't watch that either. I'm sorry. Man, y'all killing me, Smalls. So, what am I? What goes in? It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Right? Let me throw some scripture on you. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if I'm not putting any good stuff in, I'm not going to speak good stuff. You know what our world needs? Encouragement. It needs somebody to say, I'm locking arms with you. I love you. Send her to camp with me. Send her with me. Here I am. You want to talk? I hope you guys talk to the new people. Some of you guys have been through some hard stuff. You got all stuff to give. Give it. Give it away. He says, if you give it away, I'll fill it back up. He says, I'll pour it over. Your overflow will be enough. Hello, the beard, the oil from Aaron's beard. Just let that drip on you a little bit. He's going to fill you up so you can pour it out again. Be the container. Be the container. Okay. Yes, ma'am? Don't tell her if you don't. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That's why it says iron sharpens iron. Yeah, Mama's like a rock star when she walks in. All you guys start hollering at her and cheering for her and loving on her. Yeah, fan club. That's right. We all need a fan club. That's right. All right, so we've got soldier, athlete, farmer, minister, container. And then the last analogy he gives in this scripture, 2 Timothy, is servant. 2:4. I got to read this one. Again, I'm just reading for my purposes, but let me just read this to y'all. This is 2:24. For a true servant of the Lord, Jesus, will not be argumentative, but gentle towards all and skilled in helping others see the truth, having great patience toward the immature. You know, we all want to be given multiple times to get it, and we want everybody else to get it the first time I say it. Right? Yeah, I told you to do this. Why haven't you done it? I am so thankful for this house that kept telling me, that kept showing me, that kept loving me, that kept encouraging me. Because without this house doing that for me, and it didn't happen in a week, 2 weeks, a year, 2 years. It took me a long time. And I wasn't necessarily bad, and I still haven't arrived. But without the faithfulness of this house to me and ministering to my heart, so many times, I certainly wouldn't be standing up here now. I certainly wouldn't be standing up here now. Because I was immature. I faked it till I made it. Yet in here, I didn't feel like I was enough. I didn't feel like I would ever arrive. And you know which voice I listened to the most? Not his. I believed the whisper of the enemy too often. I believed I wasn't as good as somebody else. I believed I didn't have the best things like somebody else. I was envious. I was jealous. I didn't think I was qualified to minister up here. Certainly never qualified to do this. Yet, this house loved me and poured out into me, encouraged me, gave me hope. And then, the biggest difference was, I finally quit thinking I had to just listen to Sid Garner to get it right. It's the biggest difference. He brings a good word. We have a lot of people in here bring good words. And you can become better. But I can't fulfill my purpose until I know it. I can move towards my destiny, but I can't fulfill my purpose until I know what it says. I need to know what it says about the enemy. I need to know this thing says the Lord's overcome it. I need to know that. On my own. And about 2.5 years ago, that's what I decided. I've been saved 15. So I was like a preacher junkie. Just pour it out. And poor Sid would go get filled back up, and I just let the next time they came back. I don't know if I ever told. I've never said that out loud till just now. Sorry, Sid. But that's true. And when I figured out I had to get it on my own so the Lord could use me differently, that's when things begin to change. And it's not just for me, it's for all of us. It's for all of us. So, let me get to this little last part right here. The good thing about the Lord is He gives us the grace to overcome all that. You know, He gives us the grace that we need to overcome it. And, you know, I think last night we had a lady that spoke to the kids, and one thing she said is that so often we try to fill the hole in our heart. No, let me remember her face. She said, we can't fill a hole in our heart with anything but a big God. Anything but a big God. Because without a big God, that guilt and that shame will come back. And we won't know how to, we won't figure out how to fight Him. It's when we get to know this big God and we know what He says about us. I saw those girls in our huddle, shame begin to break. It's not gone yet. But I saw a weeping and a cleansing begin to take place. And I know there's going to be a restoration of that parent-child relationship. I know there's going to be spouses that when they come along, they will accept them and their kid. That was prayed over them. God, go ahead and begin to prepare their spouses. Go ahead and begin to prepare their spouses for them. And He will. I've prayed that over my kids. And He will. They've obviously gone through a few frogs, right? The prince is to come. Not that my kid, just, you know. So let me get down to the Paul's farewell message. Hold on, I'm burning up in here. I don't know if it's just me. I'm so, whew. All right, let me read 2 Timothy 4. I'm going to read all this. Timothy, in the presence of our great God and Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is destined to judge both the living and the dead. One day we're all going to be judged, right? We're going to stand up there and He's going to say, well, let's have a talk. Y'all ever seen that movie where He opens up that big old file drawer? What's it called? Bruce Almighty? I'm sure none of y'all watch stuff like that but me, right? So He opens up that big old file drawer. I don't know how big my file's going to be. Okay? But I'm going to tell you something. That big old long file drawer of those past mistakes, He's not so much worried about those as He is what I'm going to do tomorrow. Because now I know what's in that file drawer, and I know He's forgiven me, and I've repented and told Him I was going to do it better. Now you know what He expects. He wants me to do it better. He wants me to start getting it right. And so that's what I got to do. Okay? All right, let me get back to my book here. What Robin said is that he wants us to get it right, not for Him, but for us. That's so true. He's our biggest fan. He's our biggest cheerleader. And He wants us to get it right. Because I'm going to tell you, last night, you know how right that felt? Man, I can't get away from it. It felt right. That's what he wants that for me. Like Robin said, last night the kid got saved. That was for her, but it was also for me. Because I've got some that irritate the crap out of me that I've got to try to love. I got to try to be a servant to the immature. Just like all y'all were servants to me. When I was I can't say I'm still mature yet. Right? But we've got to get to that point, and it's for us. Because last night encourages me. All right. So he says, I solemnly instruct you to proclaim the word of God and stand upon it no matter what. Rise to the occasion and preach it when it's convenient and when it's not. So he doesn't want us to say, well, I can't talk to Robin today. I'm going to go this way in Walmart. It's all supposed to be convenient to us. You know, stop for the one. It doesn't matter if you're late to your meal at Zaxby's or if you've got to go to the beach, stop for the one. Stop for the one. That's what he wants us to do. Preaching the full expression of the Holy Spirit with wisdom and patience as you instruct and teach people. Now, this is where I feel like we are today in the world. For there is the time coming when we will no longer listen and respond to the healing words of truth because they will become selfish and proud. The selfish and proud will seek out teachers with soothing words that line up with their desires, saying just what they want to hear. They will close their ears to the truth and believe nothing but myths. That's a picture of our world today. If we don't like something, we just run to the next person and tell us what we want to hear. A lot of times, early on, I wouldn't always call Lori. I probably wasn't going to hear what I needed, what I wanted to hear. I was going to hear what I needed to hear, but it wasn't going to be what I wanted to hear. Should be like. So sometimes we don't call who we need to hear from. We're going to go get our old buddy Roe over here and say, hey, don't you agree with me? And you're going to find those people that agree with you. So be alert to all these things and overcome every form of evil. Carry in your heart the passion of your calling as a church planner and evangelist and fulfill your ministry calling. You know what I did last night? Fulfilled my ministry calling. And I didn't do it. The Lord did it. I was just a vehicle He used to get her there. How she ended up in Carrollton, Georgia from 2 hours away? God. And then He said, Lisa. And then He said, let's get her to camp. And He said, I'll do the rest. Get out of the way. And He did. He's good like that. So, but, you know, it's carrying a passion for Him. It's no problem for me to get excited about a game. Before I was saved, I could get excited about a football game. I always loved watching Alabama beat Georgia. That was always fun before I was saved. It's probably less fun now that I'm saved than it was before I was saved, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I still enjoy it, but I don't live for it. I don't live for it. I'd rather go 0-6 this week in softball and get one soul to heaven. That was a lot more fun than me standing out in the heat coaching softball the last 3 days. I guarantee that. And my kid wasn't the only kid. There were a lot of girls that got added last night. That's fun. When you're a minister of the gospel wanting it to happen and you're passionate, that's fun. Second Timothy 4:6. And now the time is fast approaching for my release from this life, and I am ready to be offered as a sacrifice. I have fought an excellent fight, and I have finished my full course, and I've kept my heart full of faith. There's a crown of righteousness waiting in heaven for me. I know that my Lord will reward me on this day of His righteous judgment. And this crown is not only waiting for me, but for all who love and long for His unveiling. You guys remember who Paul was before he became Paul? He killed all the people who said they believed in Jesus and had no regret. Some of us didn't regret things we did before we came to know Him. And so the Lord used him mightily, and he began to grow spiritual sons. And that's all He wants for us. That's all He wants for us. And it's really not a hard job. Have you guys ever... I'm going to close with this, I think. Maybe. Don't know yet. Like, if I have my mind, like, about a year ago, I was going to buy a new car because mine was, like, kaput. And I kind of started looking at different cars. And you know, when you start looking at cars, all of a sudden, you've never noticed anybody else driving this car, so you think you're the only one that's going to ever have it, right? But then all of a sudden, you buy that car, and you're like, oh my God, what? There's like, everywhere you turn, you see that car, right? But you never noticed that particular car before. Well, it's kind of the same thing. When I finally began to really notice God, guess what? I started seeing opportunities that He was all around me. And so we see what we look for. And that's what Paul was trying to tell Timothy. There's going to be a world that we're in that doesn't always want to hear this because we were selfish. So Sydney's been asking us this question a while now. Is our life big enough for God to move? Was it convenient to take a team? I took five starters that will start for me in the fall. Five kids who will probably be on the field that game one. I took those five kids, and then I took four more with me. Didn't feel like we had a chance in the world to win. I knew I was going. It wasn't convenient because I'm telling you, I'm the girl that don't like to lose. And I didn't really want to sign up for 3 days of losing. But I took them. Wasn't convenient. Wasn't cheap. I got a kid saved. I didn't get a kid, but a kid got saved. And I got to see my daughter minister. Man, it's a win-win. That's a win-win. And that's not just reserved for me. I've seen others. I saw 300 girls in an auditorium last night worshiping their brains out for Jesus. That excites me. That excites me. So, I'll close with this. Is your life an example to follow? Is what others see in you something to follow? Some days mine is, some days next three or four it might not be. I don't know. But I want to get to where it is. I want... Absolutely. That's right. That's right. That's right.
Doesn't matter what you've done. It just matters where you are right now and where you're going. Because we all want to be these things Elitsa talked about tonight. And I'll speak to you guys just because I don't know you as much as I know these people. But we're all different. But we're all the same in the way she talked about. But the only way to be strong like that, I mean, I was saved for so many years and I just didn't know how to be strong. But there's only one way to be strong, and it's devotion. You got to get into it, man. Because if you don't, you'll be walking around just, you won't have any focus, you won't have any direction, you won't know anything. And you'll look to people that you would look up to, but you won't know how to get there. And there's only one way to get there. And every single person who you look up to has gotten there because they've gotten in that. And that's it. That's it. There's only one way. And it doesn't, don't look at someone else and go, what do you do? Just do what you want to do. Just take, when you take the time out of your life to spend time with Him, He will meet you every single time. I don't care if it's 5 minutes or whatever it is, man. Just start spending time with Him and you'll see your life go on an explosion route that you never could have imagined. Because it's the only way to get there. I mean, that's it. I mean, the people, you know what? The people that I look up to,
there's nobody.
But I mean, that's what got me where I am now, because they actually got it through my thick head that that's what I needed to do. But I needed to do it. I couldn't just say I want to do it. I can't say, I just didn't say, yeah, you know, no, I had to do it. But when you start doing it, you start wanting it more and more and more and more and more. And then you just, but that's it though. That's how to get that. That's how to get those six things and how to be those six things. That's the only way. But when you do it, then, and that's how you get the life that others want. That's how you become that person out there. Then you don't have to go preach the gospel. You don't have to walk around and talk about that. No, they're just going to wonder, why are you better? Why are you stronger? Why do you have peace when you shouldn't have peace? Why do you have joy when you should have no joy? Who cares about what you did when today is all that matters? I mean, but not only that, and I don't mean to degrade anything that anybody's ever done, but that's not you anymore. It can be you. You can choose to keep doing it. But it's not you if you choose not to be it. And let me tell you, whatever any of us have gone through, it's always going to be a testimony. And that's yours. And there's nobody else that has the same one. Nobody. And that is going to be someone that someone's going to lean on one day and look up to one day and go, man, how did you do it? And then you get to tell them. But they're going to ask you. You don't have to tell them. So, man, I just had to share that. Hope you guys enjoyed it.
That's awesome. Damon said, I'm going to be a Damon junkie a second right now, but he said when he sent everybody into the upper room, or they were in the upper room waiting for the next thing to happen, and when Jesus came back and appeared to them, he appeared to them because they were exclusively his. They had been proximally close, and they were exclusively his. He knew their heart was for him. And that's who he came back to. That's who he came back to. And would Jesus come back to me? It's like Paul said, what are we after? What are we after? And I was after the wrong thing for a lot of the time. And I was still a good person, but I was not pursuing the things that I needed. Jesus comes back to the ones that love him. He's there. You know, if Damon shared, if he had been Jesus, he wouldn't have come back to them first. He would have come back to the Pharisees and said, ha, you tried. You couldn't get me, you tried. But no, he came back to those who loved him most. I want to be that girl. I want to be that girl. And it's a sweet, sweet spot. Because there's no feeling like I had last night watching that kid get saved. He wants our hearts, folks. It's real simple. He just wants us, as rotten and stinking as I've been, he still just wants me. I don't understand it sometimes, but that's all he wants. Absolutely.
Okay, this is in 2 Timothy chapter 2 as well, and it's in verse 4 that you read. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. So sometimes it's easy to get entangled with things that's going on around us and to try to be like other people, to sound like other people, or to please other people. And then in verse 16 of the same chapter, he says, avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. So sometimes, you know, there might be conversations that come about to us that we just don't need to be involved in. We don't have to make a comment. Sometimes we can just be silent. Or if God gives a word to speak at that time, he can change it to go in a godly direction instead of where it was going at that time. So we have that ability to just receive from him. And since he's telling us, the soldiers here, actually, they weren't allowed to even marry for 20 years while they were in service. They weren't allowed to have that part in their lives because they were solely soldiers for the king. And so with the Lord, he wants our heart, and he will give us everything else that we have need of. If he has our heart, then the things that our lives are involved in will be applicable to him and making a difference for bringing his kingdom into this earth.
Good stuff. All right, well, I've talked enough. Let's pray. Dear Father, I just thank you for your love, most of all, Father. I thank you that you love me, Father, even I'm unlovable, that you just pour out your blessings and on each of us, Father, when we're so undeserving. But yet, Father, with you, we're perfect. And I just pray that our hearts begin to align with yours. If we're at 60%, Father, I hope we can go to 70%. If we're a little further along, just continue to grow us, Father, and let us lead that life of devotion. Father, I'm just so thankful for everybody in this room and how they've poured into me. And I just pray, Father, that if there's anybody that that needs a touch from you, Father, that they would just...